thought when Brother Benson mentioned a while ago about God being everywhere and seeing everything. Some folks liked that and some didn't. Sometimes when I'm driving on the highway or going down the street and I see a state police or local police or whatever, I say, there's one of my friends. And if anybody's with me, they'll kind of jibe me a little about having him for my friend. I say, that's what he is. He's out there to see that folks drive right and that they do right. Yeah, but says he's there to see that you drive right and you do right too. And I said, well, I'll drive right without him. And I'll do right the best I know and understand without him being there. But he's out there to see that folks treat me right too. And that's the way I feel about God. He's looking on to approve us as well as to condemn if there's anything to be condemned or reproved or any admonishment due, he'll render that. But people that's striving to live for God and do His will, they'll appreciate that anyway. And count God their friend for Him just being faithful to them to admonish them and reprove them. Brother Chandler used to teach us when someone would admonish us about anything and show us where we were short and we could move up, just say, praise God, that's where I was trying to get anyway. And He just sent you along to show me the way. Well, we've just passed through a Thanksgiving season, an annual Thanksgiving season. Of course, we're children of God, all times Thanksgiving. We're always thankful. And the nation sets aside a certain season to give thanks. We've just passed that time, and I feel inclined to speak a little on Thanksgiving tonight. Thanksgiving is a very essential part of a Christian life. It's a very important part of our praying. And you'll find a little thought that I want to develop and project a little. In the 18th verse of the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now it's God's will, and we more fully fulfill His will in being thankful. But this is a big order here, in everything give thanks. I mentioned to you Tuesday night in the prayer meeting that if everyone could just get a hold of that little text and actually be that way now in their hearts, they'd be on top of the world, so to speak. They'd just about have everything mastered if we could reach a point wherein everything, the bitter as well as the sweet, the adversity as well as the prosperity, just in everything give thanks. I doubt if you can find any kind of a situation, or if you've ever found yourself in such a condition that was just as bad as it could be. Most any kind of condition that we can get in, it could be worse than what it is. And if you look around a little further, you'll probably find somebody that's in a little worse situation than what you are. Then I say that as long as anything could be any worse than what it is, we still have something to be thankful for that it isn't any worse. And often in my praying, I pause to give thanks to God that everything is as well as it is right now. No condition any worse than what it is at this moment. Maybe the conditions are pretty bad. Maybe I'm praying for sick people that are suffering much. But I still thank God that it's no worse than what it is right now. And that we're trusting Him to make it better. Now, He says this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When a person turns his life over to God, God's the guardian of that life. He's the official guardian. You signed over to Him, so to speak, power of attorney over your affairs. And when this happens, everything that comes your way then has been examined by God and looked over by Him carefully before He ever allowed it to get through and come to you. Peter says, now for a season, if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptation. The key word here, or words, are if need be. Now God knows you and me. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He's searching us out all the time to discover ways and means to help us and to improve us in our Christian experience and in our relationship with Him. That is God's objective in all of His dealings with every Christian person, every one of His children. He wants to be more real to you. He wants to be more in your life and in your affairs. He wants a closer, deeper relationship between you and Him. And everything is being worked with that objective in mind. Now, when God discovers something, let me first say this. He said that His objective in us was that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. And there's nothing ever going to get to heaven that isn't like His Son. When God searches us out and sees something that mars the image of His Son, He decides that it's time that need be now. That there be something transpire in our lives that will touch that thing. And it will bring that out where we can see it and where our will can act toward God in regard to that. And when we submit to Him and to His process, He'll go ahead then and purge that thing out of our lives. The objective is that we might be more conformed to the image of His Son. Yes, Lord. And I say that if we keep submitted to God If we are willing and permit God to have His way in our hearts and lives, and work in us the will and the do of His good pleasure, He'll have the last one of us ready for heaven before He ever takes us out of this world. Consequently, the purging process that God finds to be essential to conform us to the image of His Son, it's naturally going to be distasteful to the flesh, and we're not going to exactly like it, and it will not feel good to us. But He said, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness in them that are exercised thereby. Now, when we can get a hold of this, and when we are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else is subservient to that, including myself and my self-interest. The psalmist one time said, I have set the Lord ever before me. What does that mean? That means the Lord comes before I come. The Lord's will comes before my will comes. And His purpose is paramount over my purpose in life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when we set our course that way and can see God working out His good purposes in our lives, even though it be a difficult experience to the natural man, we can still give thanks, because we know what He's working for and what will come out of that. In everything, give thanks. Now, that's a big order, but when you get a hold of that to where you can do it, you'll just be on top of the world. You'll be on top of your circumstances. You'll triumph over all. The Apostle Paul said, these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul was a man that was master of his own life, and he had himself in subjection and down under, to where he had everything that happened to him in life working for him. You can do the same thing. The same possibility lays within your grasp, that you can be the master of your life. And you can have everything that happens to you in life working for you. When we learn that, we'll learn to give thanks in everything, and to appreciate the workings of God with us. No one ever grew very deeply spiritual on flowery beds of ease, having their own way, doing their own thing, prospering all the time. It's when we run into blockades, barricades, adversities, troubles, griefs, perplexities, problems of life, that in those things we can grow deeply spiritual if we handle it right. I've called to your attention before that in driving on the highway, I've noticed this, especially in the mountains, and on the up grade, when you're pulling the grade up a long, steep grade, you don't see many caution signs. You don't see any speed limit signs. They don't figure things going to get out of control going that way anyway. It's when you top the mountain and start down on the other side you begin to see the caution signs. It's in the going downgrade they figure cars maybe will get out of control and they'll get rolling faster than what they should. And so they've got the caution signs and the speed limit signs and so on. That's the way with your life. It isn't when you're having to spend your time on your knees to keep yourself alive that you're likely to slip. But it's when things get to running smooth with you. When things kind of level off. And you're not having difficult things to meet that'll keep you down on your knees. That's when things are likely to get out of hand with you. But you're going to be more deeply spiritual when you have a few trials along the way. Well, then thank God for the trials. Be thankful for them. In everything, give thanks. The psalmist said, when I think of your loving kindnesses, they are more than I can number. When we begin to think of thanksgiving and what to be thankful for, and when we consider that we have nothing but what we have received, or somebody said, I worked for what I got. Yeah, where'd you get the ability to work? Where'd you get your life? Where'd you get your breath? Where did you get your sense? Sometimes we criticize folks because they're not good managers in their affairs of life. And we feel like, well, I manage my affairs better than that. Well, where did I get the ability to manage my affairs better than that? The scripture says you have nothing but what you received. Then we should recognize God in every superior quality that we have. If we're superior to someone else in managerial ability or in earning capacity or in good sense or in whatever category you place it, thank God that He gave you that. If you excel in wisdom, thank God that you excel in wisdom. It came from God. He teaches us that we have nothing that we didn't receive, and if we received it, wherein do we boast? There's certainly no cause for boasting or pride, but just for thanksgiving. We look on the man that's down and out, the drunkard in the ditch, the narcotics addict, people that are in grievous states and conditions. We say, I'm glad I'm not like that. Well, I'm glad I'm not like that also, but why am I not like that? The only margin of difference between me and him is the grace of God. We both started out just alike. When he came into this world, he was just like me. I was just like him. If we were to alter circumstances and conditions a little bit, and alter environments, maybe by now I'd be in his place and he'd be mine. I have no way of knowing where I'd be but for the grace of God. Neither do you. Be thankful to God that you're not like that. It's God made you different from that. It's God that saved you and me from a life of sin. And that's just some of sin. And that's the price of sin. The conditions that people get into and the troubles they have, that's the price of sin. Just thank God that He saved you and me out of that kind of life. And that we didn't fall a victim to those kind of things. Jesus gave us a parable in the 18th chapter of Luke. And He said He spoke it concerning certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And that's just the way it'll be with you. Every time you get kind of trusting in your own righteousness, you'll start looking down on other folks. It's impossible for you to get an overestimation of your own righteousness and of your own qualifications and capabilities and think of other folks on even terms. It can't be done. This man that Jesus spoke about in this parable, he said, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men." Well, actually now I'm thankful too that I'm not like a lot of other men. But this man, he followed that up with a recommendation of himself and a catalog of his virtues. And he said, "I fast twice in the week. I give alms of all I possess. I'm no adulterer. I'm no extortioner." And there wasn't anything wrong with any of that, was there? The only thing wrong with that fellow was that he got so busy cataloging his virtues and recommending himself to God that he forgot to acknowledge his own need and confess that before God and seek for what he needed. He says, "I thank you, I'm not like this publican over here." Something the matter with that kind of attitude, folks. It's all right if you put God between you and him, and the grace of God between you and him, and recognize that through Christ. "I thank God I'm not like that." Then that's all right. But thanksgiving is an important part of our pleasing God. It's an important attitude for us to have. And thank God for everything. He tells us in the 95th Psalm, verse 2, "Come before the Lord with thanksgiving." Now God expects you and me, when we come in His presence, to pray and to worship Him, to come with thankful hearts, and to be thankful for the blessings that God has granted. We should always be ready in our praying to thank God for past favors. And I have a little idea going in the back of my mind that if we would be more particular about thanking God for past favors, that we would find God more ready and willing to answer our prayer for favors we need now. I wonder who it is of us that would enjoy doing things for people, making sacrifices for people, putting ourselves out and going out of our way to do things for people, and them never show one sign of appreciation at all. Would you like to just keep on doing that? Wouldn't you get tired if you just did and did and did for people and they never even said thank you? They never showed any sign of appreciation at all? Wouldn't you get tired doing that? I think everyone's like that. And that leads me to the conclusion that God is like that too. Since everyone is like that, all people are like that, and they like to see some response or some token of appreciation somewhere or other from those that they put themselves out to help and do favors to. All mankind's like that. God made us in His own image after His own likeness. I conclude God's like that too. And no doubt God gets weary with just doing and doing and doing, and people never recognizing Him as the source of their blessings and never giving thanks. I believe I have a text that will confirm that. There were 10 men who were lepers that came to Jesus on one occasion. And they besought Him that they might be healed. Jesus says, you go show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded. There was a certain sacrifice that lepers were supposed to offer when they were cleansed before they would be received back into the society. He says, you go offer your sacrifice, show yourself to the priests, let them examine you. They went on their way, and as they went, they saw they were cleansed. 10 of them now. One of them, when he saw that he was whole, he returned back to worship the Master and to give Him thanks. Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? Does not that tend to show us that God's like this too? He wants thanksgiving. He wants it from our hearts for the blessings that we continually receive from His hand. Your life is a blessing from Him. Your breath is a blessing. We take it for granted. We're so accustomed to breathing, we breathe so mechanically, we never even notice that we breathe. But I stood by one sister's bedside that had had a stroke. And this stroke had collapsed her lungs and her bronchial tubes till she was fighting for every breath she got. She was really struggling for her breath. And as I stood there and watched her, I thought like this. This woman has never been conscious, perhaps, of her breathing before now. But now she's thankful for every breath she can get. I thought that's the way I am. I just breathe mechanically and I never think of it, but if I were in that condition, I'd be thankful for every breath I got. I shouldn't have to be brought to that condition to be thankful for my breath. That's where my life is. It's God that gives to all men life and breath and all things, and it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. In the 100th Psalm, in the 4th verse, he says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. We should recognize God as the source of every blessing. He's the fount of it all. And bless His name. Glorify His name and honor Him. In the 116th Psalm, the 17th verse, says, I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. and will call upon the name of the Lord. Thanksgiving is a part of our sacrifice to God. We are told in Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse, be careful for nothing. Now that's a big order, isn't it? Don't be anxious about anything. Every anxiety is a call to prayer, someone has said. But be anxious or careful about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I understand from this that God would have you and me, all of His children, free from care, free from worry, free from burden, free from anxiety, and our hearts and minds at peace through trusting in Him. But He said, in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. The prayers of saints should be well seasoned with thanksgiving. And we ought never to have to think too hard to think of a number of things to be thankful for, to sprinkle into our prayers with the petitions that we offer unto God. When Jesus taught us to pray, as He did in the 6th chapter of Matthew, said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now that word hallowed signifies glory, honor, praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Be to thy name. That's the very beginning of the prayer. And He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our prayers should start that way too. They should start with thanksgiving. Sometimes we get so intent on the petition that we have to offer and the need that we have that we forget to be thankful for what we've already received. And sometimes we get rather perturbed. I say we're like spoiled children. If we've got a petition up there before the Lord and He hasn't seen fit to answer it yet, we get rather perturbed and get discouraged with the whole thing. Now you take a spoiled child, and maybe he'll want to do this and he'll want to do that, and everything he wants to do for a while is all right, and you say, yes, son, you can do this, and yes, that's all right, and you can go there, and you can have that. So on, after a while, he comes up with something that you realize wouldn't be the best for him to do or the best for him to have. And you say, no, son, you can't have that, or you can't do that or go there. He's already lost sight of all them times you said yes and all them places you let him go. He says, don't ever get to go anywhere. Won't let me do anything. He already forgot all that, see? That's kind of the way we are sometimes. We get our minds so concentrated on what we want and aren't getting that we forget to be thankful for what we have. And maybe if we'd just be more thankful for what we had, God would add that other too. I pray many times, God bless us in a way that we'll really be blessed. Help us in a way that we'll really be helped. realize is that in my little finite mind and my little personal world here that I live in, that I might think that this or that would be a blessing to me when actually it'd be a curse if I had that. And I might think that this would help me when actually it'd hinder me if I had it. Then I must acknowledge that God's wisdom is greater than mine and thank Him for withholding from me those things that I would be destroyed by. My mother told about a little boy, and he wanted a knife, and his parents wouldn't let him have a knife, and he cried and he fretted and he kept on till finally they got him a knife. And he was out playing one day, and after Benny came in to where his mother was, and he said, "Look, Mommy, I cut me with my knife." And she went to look, and he just fell down dead there. He had fallen on his knife and stabbed himself. Now, he'd have been a lot better off if those parents had just held out that he wasn't going to have a knife. And you and I would be a lot better off if God had just hold out on us sometimes. We think this or that would be a blessing to us, but it turns out to be a curse when we get it. God let the children of Israel have something because they contended for it. Finally, He let them have it. But it made them sick and wrought leanness in their souls. Let us thank God for His providences, for His loving kindnesses, for His watchful and fatherly care over us as His children, and providing us. He says your Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him. Providing us with the things that we need and would be good for us. Paul says in the 14th chapter of Acts in verse 17 that God left not Himself without witness, in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. That all comes from God. I read a little piece in the paper one time. The heading of it was, "It's all in a point of view." And they were out there looking over a wheat crop. And the statistician says it ought to produce so many bushels of the acre. He calculated it that way. The farm agent said it's a good crop, and a little rain at the proper time will just make a bumper crop. One said one thing, one said another. Finally, a little boy that was there piped up, and he said, "Oh, Mama," says, "isn't it great? God made it, didn't He?" Well, he was closer to it than anybody. God made it. God made everything. Without Him was not anything made that wasn't made. Thank God for everything. And let us recognize that it's God that has supplied us. In Romans, the first chapter, in verse 21, Paul is describing the unhappy state that the heathen had come to, and the depth of depravity that they had fallen into. And he said the reason of it was because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations. That's the reason they got in that state. If you and I become unthankful in our hearts and fail to give due recognition to God for all his mercies and blessings to us, then our hearts will naturally become crusted and hardened, and God will not be close to us, and he'll be kind of unreal to us. Actually, God's a little unreal to this world anyway. I find fault, I'm a little critical towards some of these popular songs that we have about God. One of them says, every time I see a rose petal, every time the sun rises, in the raindrops, in the rainbow, in everything, I see God. Well, there are others similar to that, and I'm a little bit critical of those kind of songs because of the fact, outside of this fact, they're all right, but because of the fact that it has a tendency to get away from the idea of a personal God living in the hearts and lives of the people. That's where we need to realize God. That's where we need to see him. He made all of this. Naturally, in nature, we see God, but we want to see him a personal God, having a personal relation with us and living in our hearts, dwelling within us. He said that he dwells in the hearts of the humble. In Colossians, the second chapter, verses 6 and 7, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. This seems to indicate that thanksgiving will help our establishment in the faith and in the things of God. Recognizing God as the source of our blessings will add to that personal relationship between us and God, and will aid in establishing us in our faith and in our experience. Again, he said in the third chapter of Colossians, in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Thank God for peace. He's the only one that can give it. But being justified by faith, we have peace with God, the Apostle Paul tells us, and that he is our peace, and he's the only one that can give peace. Jesus said, peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world give I unto you. You see, he has a different kind of peace to what the world has to offer. And I don't give like the world gives, their kind of peace. But I give you peace. Peace with God. Peace of mind. Peace of heart. Peace with your fellow men. Just peace. Now he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Thank God for the body of Christ. The one body, the unity of the Spirit, the fellowship of the saints, that we have been privileged to participate in and to partake of. Thank God for all of that. Appreciate that and endeavor to maintain that and hold on to that. How many times, many, many times in my praying, I thank God for His Spirit that He has sent to guide us in all truth. I thank Him for His Word. I thank Him for His people. And for every means of grace that He has given us to help us in the spiritual life.